The Bible says to give honor to whom honor is due. Jesus said that. And one of the commandments is to honor your father and your mother. And that's the first commandment with promise. And, I think about that, and I think about our mothers here this morning, and I just want to say how much I appreciate the motherly instincts and the things that God has put in mothers, and how I see them expending themselves in all kinds of ways to bless their children and their family. I wanted to say a few words about this before we go on, but I was thinking about the natural affection that a mother has for a child and how it's something really, if somebody didn't have that, I don't know if you could hardly explain it to them, because there's something God puts in the heart of affection for that child that really isn't there in that way, I don't think mostly, for any other child. But God puts that special mothering instinct into a mother's heart and gives that to her. And I have watched, I didn't realize when I was young, I had no idea what my mother went through. I had no idea that she spent sleepless nights while I cried, or others. I didn't know that. And I just want to encourage the young people and the children this morning. It's in God's will and plan for you to honor your mother and to thank her for that. You may not know what it's like. I've been reminded lately, since we had another newborn in the family, and they've been telling me about their sleepless nights. And I've remembered what it was like. But mothers do that, don't they? They spend those times with their children. They love their children. I was thinking about the beauty of what God did in a mother's heart and how He put in there something in a mother. See, when Adam was alone, the Lord said, it's not good for man to be alone. And Adam, when he had his wife Eve, he called her Eve because it says she was the mother of all the living. And, you know, God made that mother with special characteristics. You see, they're a little more emotional than men are, maybe a lot more sometimes. God made them that way. God made you that way, mothers. And I thank God for it. I thank the Lord when I see my wife has a very strong mothering instinct. And she can grab those little babies up and just start kissing on them. And in a minute, they're just acting good again. God put that in there, didn't He? You know, I just want to say those few words before we go on. I was thinking about the bond that is between a mother and her child, and thinking about the different aspects that a mother has in her child's life. There's a saying that is said, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. I believe that. And I have come to believe, in looking on the political scene and all the things that are there, that unless we change who the people are, we're going to keep choosing things that sometimes God isn't pleased with. We're going to make choices in our lives that God isn't pleased with. But I will tell you what will change that. That's if the mothers and fathers, and it's not all just the mother, of course, but this is Mother's Day, and that is chiefly her job, more so than the man even. You know, it is in her hand to produce and to work with those children to produce something that helps society be better. And I thank the Lord for that this morning. I believe that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. The reason that is because that if we train our children or don't train our children, the world is going to be ruled by that generation one day. And I thank God for the generations of children that I've seen our mothers put themselves into. So I just wanted to thank you, mothers. And I want to encourage the children again. Thank your mother. She has spent a lot of time, more so than you'll ever realize, raising your generation. Well, I just wanted the will of the Lord, but I feel like the Lord's given me another message this morning. Not really a Mother's Day message, but I want to share it with you because I want to be faithful to give just what the Lord gives me. In Psalms 27 and 4, we'll be reading a little here and there in Psalms 27 through this time. It says one thing, it was a Psalm of David. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You know, this morning, this writer, I understand it says a Psalm of David, so we'll take it for that. But it says that he was seeking one thing and desiring one thing, and that was that he might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. And I want us this morning to think a little bit about that, beholding the beauty of the Lord. All of us behold things in life. All of us have things that we look at, things that stand before us as a standard for us, our lives. All of us have things that we pattern ourselves after. You know, this morning, David here said that there was one thing that he wanted, and that was to be able to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. This morning, I want to read over in Psalms 73 and 1, where it says, truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slept. You ever been in that place before where you really felt like your feet were almost slept? Your steps had almost slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You know, this morning, this writer was beholding something. He was beholding the wicked. He was beholding their prosperity. He was beholding their ease of life and all the nice comforts that they had in life. And that's what he was beholding. It was before his eyes and he was looking at that. But it goes on to say, on down in verse 17, he said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didn't set them in slippery places, thou castest them down into destruction. You know, this man that had his eyes on the wicked, he had his eyes on the prosperity of the wicked, and he was looking at that. And it seemed, it just seemed overwhelming to him. Here they are in all their nice, and here I am in all my troubles. That's what the writer said, that his feet, he said, I was envious when I looked at him and I saw the prosperity of the wicked. His feet had almost slipped out from under him until he went to the house of the Lord. This morning, the writer that we first started with, he said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. You know, I want to encourage us this morning, be in the house of the Lord. Be there. Study to see the beauty of the things of God. You know, the Lord wants our heads to be lifted up. He doesn't want us to be down under things all the time. And I will tell you, lots of times, what we are beholding has a lot to do with how we're feeling inside. So, he said he wanted to behold the beauty of the things of the Lord. What do you suppose David was wanting to behold? The beauty of the Lord. Was he wanting to see God in person? Was he wanting to see the presence of God? What was he wanting to see in the temple? What was it? I believe he heard the law read. I believe he heard the ways of God brought out before him, and he loved that. And he realized that those are the things that will hold his life. He said he wanted to behold that. He wanted it before him in his life, the beauty of the Lord. Have you ever thought about the beauty of the things of God? The things that God has placed before us, the things he has given us in life. You ever thought about the things that the scriptures talk about? I want to read in Psalm 19 a little bit, just a few chapters back, starting in verse 7. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." You know, when I read that, I think about the song, and I wanted to bring a book up here. I wrote down the two verses I was wanting, though. In song number 106, it says, "They cannot quench the fire of love that burns within my breast, nor break the tender fellowship that makes my life so blessed." You ever thought about that this morning? About the things that make our life so blessed? Have you ever thought about the fire of love that God has put in your heart, where you can love everybody? You know, not everybody can love everybody. Not everybody is free like that. Some people are bound up in chains of darkness and hatred and anger. And the Lord wants us to be free to love. You ever beheld the beauty of the Lord? The beauty of the Lord is that we love everybody. There isn't anybody that we don't love, is there? That's beautiful this morning. You ever seen somebody in a cage? I have. I've seen plenty of them in a cage. Just talk to them for 5 minutes and bitterness begins to spill out. You know, that's a hardship, isn't it? That's a cage that people live in. Behold the beauty of the Lord. Look upon it and take it into our life. Instead of looking with envious eyes at the wicked that is full of their own ease and comforts and money and all the lust of the flesh that they want. You know what they don't have? They don't have this kind of love, do they? Where you love everybody. Where your heart is free this morning. Nor break that tender fellowship that makes my life so blessed. Have you ever just meditated? Just stop and think about to behold the beauty of the Lord. You know, the Lord made mothers. We talked about a minute ago. He made them that way. They aren't just that way. He made them. He saw that it wasn't good for Adam to be alone. And he saw that there was to be a mother. And he made them that way. You know what he made for us? He made fellowship for us. He made us to be able to come together and worship together. He made us to be able to draw from one another. You know what a blessing that is this morning? I draw from you all. I need to draw from you all. And you all probably need to draw from the rest of us too. We need one another, don't we? It's beautiful. There's nothing that can break that fellowship if we allow God to have His way in our lives. Verse 5 says, "They cannot bring again the sins. The blood has washed away." You know, you think about that. That just is a small little statement, isn't it? No, it's huge. They can't bring again the sins. The blood has washed away. You know, we have a whole world before us. What brings the pain and the suffering in the world today? Is it not sin? Is it not sin that even brought suffering? Is it not sin that has brought into so many homes, into so many people's lives, into so many people's personal inside turmoil and wars and fighting? And it's sin, is it not? The song says they can't bring again the sins. The blood has washed away. They can sin against me, but I don't have to sin against them. I don't have to do those things. They can't bring them again. You know what? You know how beautiful that is for us not to have to be under that bondage of sin? I believe every sin brings reproach. Every sin brings pain. Every sin brings suffering. You take the smallest sin, lying. What does it do? I don't know that that's the smallest sin, but you take that. It may seem small sometimes. You know what it does? It creates distrust. All of a sudden, somebody can't do what they would. Why do we have to lock our houses up like we do? Why is there policemen everywhere? None of that would be necessary except for sin. Sin ruins people's lives. It says, I'm going to read on here, that they cannot bring again the sins the blood has washed away, nor make my heart like stone once more, nor turn to night my day. You know, did your heart used to be stone? I can't say I ever really got out there in that way until I felt like my heart was like stone, but many people do. And instead of soft tenderness and those things that bring about godliness between people, we find that people's hearts are hard. When they ought to just humble themselves and say, I'm sorry. They can't do that, can they? They're stuck in the cage of sin and shame. Nor make my heart like stone once more, unable to be affected and touched. The Lord said He wanted to take the stony heart out of us and give us a heart of flesh. That's a soft heart. It's a tender heart. It's an honest heart. Isn't that beautiful this morning? Behold the beauty of the Lord. Come into His presence. Come into His sanctuary and begin to behold the things of the Lord. Thank the Lord we don't have to be in all those places. I just came back from my brother's house. My brother's out in Kentucky, and he's doing the cabinets for a man. I think he's got $7 million in this house already. I don't know how much he's going to have by the time he gets finished. It's a big, beautiful house. But you know what hurts me? This rich man sells liquor to make his living. And I look at that and I think, how can this man sleep when he sees these people in the paper? So-and-so got killed. So-and-so died. So-and-so's in the hospital for all of... It doesn't work out, does it? But you know what? I don't have $8 million, $7 million, but I have peace in my soul. You know what? We have something beautiful, folks, this morning. You know what else I have? He's built him an insurance, everything he can do in this life to prepare against the future. But he's going to die. Isn't it beautiful to know that we have a home in heaven after we die? To me, that's beautiful. I want to behold the things of the Lord. I want to keep them in my mind. I don't want to find myself lax and all of a sudden I'm looking around and envious at the things others have. Listen, folks, behold the things of the Lord. Until he went in the sanctuary, then he's so changed. He realized, he said, as a beast was I, thinking that way. The Lord wants us to behold his goodness this morning. We was in Psalm 19 and 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You know, the things of God makes people wise that are otherwise simple. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand the things of God. The Lord told us, did he not, that he would give wisdom to those that ask for it, and that he would not upbraid us. He would not even get after us for it. He knows we don't have the wisdom we need. Isn't that wonderful this morning? The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. You ever meditated on that? God's ways are right, period. There isn't any more need for talk about it. His ways are right. And it says here, rejoicing the heart. The ways of God work, don't they? The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. You ever thought about those things this morning? You ever set your gaze on that? To behold those things, the ways of the Lord are like this. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The things of God makes people's lives right. And then it gives them a home in heaven in eternity. The things of sin bring shame. They bring sorrow. They bring pain all the way through. I love to read this chapter here. The fear, let's see, verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. You know what that means? It's more to be desired. These things are to be desired more than riches. More than setting our heart after anything of this life. May not be riches. May just be that fine thing that's our life. That place of prestige. That's our hope. That's our life. That's where we put ourselves. You know, he says here, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. You know, I think about that this morning. I believe David saw something greater than this life, didn't he? He said that he wanted to go, that one thing he desired of the Lord, and he said, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. This morning, I believe the Lord wants us to see something a little greater than the things of this life too. I believe David, as you read down here at the last of where we read, it says, and in keeping of them is great reward. Don't you know that there's a great reward in keeping the ways of God? Have you ever sat down and thought about the things of God, the ways of the Lord, and the rewards involved? You ever thought about the rewards of a good, clean name? That's a great, great reward, isn't it? You ever thought about the rewards of being faithful to your husband or wife, being faithful in the things of God, being someone that others can count on through your life? You ever thought about the value of those things? You know, it should inspire us to set our heart on those things. Behold the beauty of the Lord. You know, the scriptures tell us in Psalms 31 about the virtuous woman. And it says, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. You know, is that not beautiful? A virtuous woman? Someone that the heart of her husband safely trusts in. Not just trust in, but safely trust in. That's a beautiful thing. Do we see here the plan for life? The plan for families? I believe the Lord has done a good job at giving us those things. I thought about the scripture that says that He would beautify the meek with salvation. You know, beauty's a big thing in our world, isn't it? it's a big thing. The Lord said He would beautify the meek with salvation. You ever seen a beautiful person that was ugly? I have. I know I've told you this, but I remember when I first started coming around and Sister Hargrave would come in the old chapel, and she was the most beautiful person to me. The joy that she had bubbling out of her life was amazing. You know, there's a lot of people that if they will just let the Lord beautify them, they'll be beautiful people. Wherever we are, however we're made. In Psalm 27, I want to think about something here, starting at verse 5 now. Something to behold, okay? Something to look at. It says, for in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. You ever got courage from this kind of thing? While back, I needed something like this. I don't remember, it wasn't maybe this very verse. But the Lord helped me to know that He would hold me. He would hold me there. You know, this is wonderful. I know this in my heart. I know this. In the time of trouble, he'll hide me in his pavilion. In the Lord's pavilion, he's there. He'll hide me in that place. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. You know, that means you got a foundation under you. That means that it's everything's not movable because the Lord's going to do this. Behold the beauty of the Lord. Take it in and look at his beauty and look at what he has available for us rather than looking at all the other things that we can behold in life. Life is full. Life is, you can behold other things. You can behold your dreams. You'll be disappointed in the end, but you can behold your dreams. But if we want to behold something that's worth beholding, behold these things. It says here, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. What's your enemies this morning? I'm not really thinking of human enemies. I'm thinking of enemies. Satan working against us. You know what the psalmist said? My head will be lifted up above mine enemies. That could be people. It could be attacks of Satan. It could be temptations. It could be discouragements. Those things. The Lord wants to lift up our head. Have you ever meditated on that? You ever stopped to think about that? Behold these things instead of letting our head lower to all the things around us. The Lord wants to lift up our head this morning. And then it goes on. It says, up above mine enemies round about me, therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Isn't that wonderful? I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. You know, this morning, I believe the Lord has a lot more for us sometimes than we take. Sometimes we behold the wrong things in life. Sometimes we behold our dreams in life. And we follow those dreams for years and years until hopefully someday we turn our eyes to behold the Lord. And we begin to see Him in His beauty. And we begin to see what God has for us. And we begin to behold those things. God wants to give us good things. He wants to give us joy. He wants to give us many blessings in our life. Dropping on down to verse 10. Listen to this. When my mother and my father forsake me. Now you know the Lord put natural affection in a mother. We talked about that. But you know, the psalmist says here, when my mother and my father forsake me. You know, not everybody. The Bible says at the end of time that people would be without natural affection, giving and selling themselves into sin so much so that they don't have the natural affection for their own child, only following their lust, only following their desires, and in turn reaping pain, heartache all the way, and their children reaping even more maybe. But when my mother and my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. You ever thought about that? You ever felt alone? You ever felt like you just, I don't have anybody to really lean on right here. What am I going to do? I want to tell you what I know in my heart. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. When my best friends forsake me, the Lord will take me up. If I stay true to Him, He will. He'll take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You ever felt that way? I imagine most of us of any age have felt that way a time or two. I had fainted unless I had believed. Unless I had beheld the things of God and believed them. Who had believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I will tell you, it's to those that believe, isn't it? It's to those that behold the Lord and believe it and take it into their life. And he says here, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, wait on the Lord. Wait on Him. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, this morning, it's easy for us to get our eyes off of the Lord and go trotting off somewhere, doing something in our own strength, in our own mind. You know what the Lord says? Just wait. Wait. I want to tell you what's beautiful. He says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. You believe that this morning? Lord's going to strengthen your heart. He's going to strengthen my heart. If we wait on Him, if we don't trot off doing our own thing, He'll strengthen our heart. And He will give us those things that will bless us. And then He ends up saying again, wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on Him. Wait on the Lord. Listen for Him. Follow Him. Don't run off somewhere and doing your own thing. In Psalms 48, I want to look at a few other beautiful things this morning. 48 and 12. The scripture says, walk about Zion and go round about her. What is Zion? It's typical of the church, isn't it? And it says here, walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her palaces. I'm sorry. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. You know, this morning, I'm thinking about the scriptures that tell us about these things. He says, walk about Zion and go round about her, tell the towers thereof. Now, maybe to some degree they were talking both prophetically here and about Zion there, about the city of David, Jerusalem. And they had palaces. They had bulwarks. They had towers. Almost every city had walls, and then they had towers every so far. You know what that did? It watched for the enemy. You know what else it did? It gave them an advantage. When the enemy came near, they were on top, shooting down. You know, this morning, there's some blessings, and when we talked about some of them already, there's some blessings that the Lord has given us in His Word, in His body, that we want to be able to draw from. There's a blessing that He wants us to tell the generation following. He doesn't want us to be beholding everything in the world, but He wants us to behold. He says, you walk about Zion and go about her and tell the towers thereof. You know, those towers are strong places, aren't they? The Proverbs 18 and 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. You know, we have that this morning. Sometimes you may feel like you don't have much. I want to tell you something. If you have the Lord, you have a strong tower. The devil wants to devastate every life he can today. He's doing that very well in our country, isn't he? And we are being devastated. We see it everywhere. But I'll tell you, it's because people have left the name of the Lord out of their life. He says here, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as an high wall in his own conceit. That's what the world around us, they have their own ways of feeling safe. Maybe they feel like America's the strongest country in the world. You know, that could all change so quickly. Our riches could change so quickly. Our security could change so quickly. We never know when things are going to change, do we? But the name of the Lord, that's a strong tower. The things God has given us. One scripture says, salvation will He appoint for bulwarks. You know, those are things that you would think, well, that's a no-brainer. But the world don't teach salvation like that all around us. Salvation, deliverance from the very things that ruin our lives. Deliverance from having to partake of those things. Those things are strong towers to us, aren't they? Walk about Zion and see it. Look at the things of God, that you might tell it to the generation following. The Spirit of the Lord, the infilling of the Holy Spirit in our life, His working in a mighty way, His working in our midst, If we let it work like that, that's a strong thing, isn't it? For the Lord to be able to reach over here and touch someone wherever, and they get up and proclaim the word of the Lord that the Lord just moved on their heart. You know, that's a strong tower. Tell it to the generation following. Make yourself available to the Lord. Let His Spirit work in our life. Is this not a beautiful thing? I believe it is this morning. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Get them down. Understand where they are. And tell it to the generation following. They have needs. They need the things of God in their life. And the Lord wants to give it to us today. Looking back up in that same chapter, starting at verse 1, 48 and 1 of Psalms, it says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge." Just want to challenge us this morning a little bit. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Set your eyes on those things and behold the good things of God. I want to tell you, if you want peace in life and you want joy in your home, behold the things of the Lord this morning. I want to read another place, Malachi 3 and 16. How many of you know that verse? "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name." You know, this morning, I believe the Lord wants us to think on His name and speak often one to another. I don't know what all of our lives contain today. I don't know where we're all at in life and what we're doing with our lives. I know many of us quite well. But you know, this morning, the Lord wants us to behold beautiful things in the Spirit of the Lord. He wants us to behold things that that bring beauty and that bring our life into admiration. And when we talk one to another, I want to encourage us, sometimes talk of the things of the Lord. Talk often of the things of God one to another. It's a blessing. Sometimes my brother-in-law, Bob Wilson, and I went on trips together and things, and we'll get to talking. And I'll tell you, for days, that lingers, that blessing of the things of the Lord. Talk with one another. Let our eyes behold the things of the Lord. Don't let the things of the world or our own insufficiencies or our own questions or our own whatever it is, our own pursuits of life, don't let those get too big in our life where we're beholding those things and then we see none of the beauty of the Lord. Behold the beauty of the Lord and allow Him to be that in our life this morning. I believe it'll be a blessing to us. Amen.